Okay, praise the Lord, people. Oh, I just love being here with you all. I really do. Church is such a blessing. Where would we be without the Lord's house? Such an encouragement. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. And we'll stand. And we'll sing 259. 259, here is exactly what America needs to be revived. And we'll sing the first, second, and the fourth of 259. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thank the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thank the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us the Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thank the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thank the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love, may its soul be rekindled with the fire from above. Yes, hallelujah, thank the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thank the glory, revive us again. Oh, amen. Please be seated, church. What a blessing. Great words to that hymn. And I'm so glad that we have daily reviving. We need that each and every day. And the Lord is faithful to provide. Well, folks, at this time, let's grab our Bibles. And please open up your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy. That'd be 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And this morning, I have a most solemn message. You know, I like to preach on what is happening in the world. Amen? Timely messages. And the Lord gave me one this morning. Beloved, how many of you knows this morning that we're living in dangerous times? Perilous, the Bible calls them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, just prior to my reading, I want to read something I received late last night, actually early this morning. I was up with the Lord preparing for today, and I received an urgent notice from Jerry Golden in Israel. He doesn't normally do this, so I said, this has to be important. I printed it out immediately. Jerry writes, it is urgent that you read this now. November 15, 2015. What is happening in France is only a small part of the overall picture of what is happening in all of Europe. And it is happening far faster than anyone thought possible. There is a mass Muslim invasion of all of Europe taking place. The terrible Islamic terrorism we have just witnessed in Paris is pale in comparison to the overall picture of the murders, rapes, and destruction of Europe taking place right now. Islam means to submit, and to submit by fear of being stoned, raped, beaten, having your hands or heads cut off, and there is no freedom of life in any form. It is submit or suffer the consequences of Sharia. Over the past few years, I've said time and time again, this would happen. He's warned us, and that Jews and Christians would be running for their lives, or have to convert to Islam, or die. I also find it interesting that at the time when this ministry would be called to full-scale action, saving Jewish lives, that something would happen to one of our boats, making it inoperative, needing a new motor. This has happened. The devil never gives up, but he is and has been defeated when those who know and have accepted Yeshua as Messiah comes to action. Now is the time for that action. And I am alerting you of a great need. We must have that motor replaced, and very quickly. The even greater need is the purchase of a larger boat. He saves Jews out of Europe and brings them back to Israel. That's his ministry. We must have a motor replaced very quickly. The even greater need is the purchase of a larger boat. It is still possible to travel to Turkey and buy a 30 to 40 meter boat capable of carrying hundreds of Jews home to Israel at a time. But if we do it, we'll have to be done quickly. Also, for things are changing very rapidly here. The below video, I sent this video link to you all this morning. When you get home, go on your email and click on the link I sent you. It's a 19-minute video you must watch. The below video has some bad language in it, but it is real, very real. And once you need to watch it, if you want to know what is happening and what is coming your way. I send it to you because you really need to see it. I don't expect it will be on the internet very long before it is taken down. So watch it now while you can. If God has called you to this ministry, now is the time for your greatest sacrificial, for later just might be too late. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for our son Joel, and all the IDF soldiers. Pray for this ministry, your partner, Shalom, Jerry Golden. Now, the video that he sent is a 19-minute video of Islam taking over the world. How they are doing it through demographics. If anybody understands that word, you'll know what I'm talking about. This video will explain it to you in detail what they're doing. Folks, Islam has a plan. Their only plan is to take over the planet, excluding Jews and Christians. So today's message is most serious. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. As I watched the news this week, my heart was arrested as seeing the images out of Paris, France, of the dead bodies in the streets and these terrorists, these ISIS terrorists claiming responsibility. Fox News Channel reported that there are now over 15,000 Al-Qaeda terrorists in America in hiding. There are close to that many ISIS terrorists here and more on the way. This morning on CNN, they announced that the ISIS terrorists that carried out the bombings of the nightclub and the restaurants this week were mixed in with the refugees from Syria. Folks, these are the same refugees that our president is bringing to America. You've got to listen to me today. CNN tells us that we are currently on a high state of alert for an imminent terrorist attack in America. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that we're living in dangerous times. And I want to talk to you this morning on the topic of perilous days. Look with me in 2 Timothy. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at me at verse 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." I want to call your attention, beloved, to verse number 1 and speak to you on perilous days. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the word of God. And Lord, how we thank you that your word warned us so long ago that these days would arrive on planet Earth. Lord, this morning I believe it is safe for us to deduce that these days are upon us now. And oh God, we have such an awesome responsibility as your believing people in the world today. to spread the good news that Jesus saves. There is a Savior. Lord, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is a devil to flee from and a Savior to run to. And Lord, we're living in perilous days, dangerous times. Oh God, what is the Christian to do? I'm so thankful that your word has the answer. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word today. And Father, I pray for those who are not here in the house of God this morning that will hear this message on the internet. Oh God, that it would speak to hearts all over this world. That we'd be more sold out to Jesus Christ than we've ever been. In these last days, we'd hold up the torch of faith and show the way of righteousness to a lost and dying world. Oh Lord, let your light shine, for the time is short. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the people said, Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Beloved, the year is 67 AD. Paul is now the aged one. He's incarcerated, sitting in a Roman dungeon under Nero. He's just a few weeks from being martyred by decapitation. This epistle is the last words Paul penned. He's now alone. But he's not alone. Amen? Paul could pen these incredible words in chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen? Listen, he faced death with confidence. He had no fear. He said, I desire to depart and to be with Christ. Beloved, at such a time as this, it is my desire today to speak as plainly and clearly as I possibly can, considering our present circumstances and state of affairs in America. Brethren, we're living in perilous days, dangerous times, evil days. But I've got good news this morning, church. We don't have to fear. Amen? We don't have to fear anything but sin. Glory to God. Follow me closely today as I preach on perilous days. Four things I want to give you and I'll be done. The first is, I want you to notice the manner of the warning. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and notice the manner of the warning. Paul says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Oh, beloved, listen carefully now. God wants his children to know some things that the world doesn't know. Listen, we need to be a knowing people. God said, shall I keep that thing from Abraham which I do, seeing he is my friend? God doesn't want to hide from you and me what he's going to do in the earth. He wants us to know what's coming down the pike. He's telling Timothy that it is his duty and responsibility to know and consider and instruct the people of God concerning the impending judgments that are coming upon this world. Folks, my job this morning is clear. I must warn of the danger of the divine judgment that is coming upon America because of her sin. Go with me to Luke chapter 8 and hold your place in Timothy. In Luke chapter number 8, watch what Jesus says about it. I always like those words in red, because Jesus don't lie. Amen? In Luke chapter 8, look with me at verse 10. And he, Jesus, said, unto you, my people, it is given to what? To know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing, they might not see, and hearing, they might not understand. Now notice here in verse 10 that Jesus says there's two types of people. There are people that know and understand what I'm doing in the world. And then there are people, the they, that don't see and don't hear and don't know. But you do. Amen? Oh, what a responsibility. Romans chapter 13. Go with me to Romans. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning it's time for the church to wake up and get busy about our Father's business. The time is so short, I can't say it strongly enough. In Romans chapter 13, watch what the Apostle Paul says about it. In Romans chapter 13, look with me at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, what's the next word?
Knowing
the time. Do you know what time it is, church? It's time to wake up. Look what he says. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Folks, it's time to put on Jesus Christ and shout it from the rooftops that Jesus saves. Why? Look at verse number 11. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake. Oh, how we need the church of Jesus Christ to awaken in these last days and to preach the gospel like never before. 2 Peter chapter 3. Oh, I'm so glad we know what time it is today. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I am afraid that too many of God's people are asleep at the helm today. They're spiritually snoring. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Peter warns us that we know that these times would come. We know there'd be scorners mocking our Savior, mocking His coming, saying all things are the same since the beginning of the world. Where is your Jesus? He's coming back. His train's running on schedule. He'll show up right on time. He always does. Oh, folks, we have such a responsibility. Back in 2 Timothy, he says this, know also how we need to know the times we're living in and the seasons of His return. Oh, beloved, this morning's message is most seriously. Paul told the believers at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly well the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. You know that. You're responsible for telling people that He's coming, and they need to repent and receive Jesus Christ. And the more time you and I spend on our knees and in this holy book, the more knowing we shall be concerning the events taking place all around us. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I'm so glad this morning that we know that they've arrived. Amen. But something else, beloved. Oh, before we move on, Christianity Today reports that there is currently a particular order of friars in Sicily called the Brethren of Ignorance. For real. The friars all take a solemn oath in which they pledge that they will neither know, learn, nor understand anything at all, and to answer all questions with the word nescio. Nescio means I don't know. Beloved, they're Brethren of Ignorance. That's the name of their cult. Listen to me. We've got too many Brethren of Ignorance in the churches today. We need to wake up and know the time we're living in. Oh, beloved, there's something else we need to see this morning in our text in 2 Timothy 3. Notice not only the manner of the warning, but let us observe the evil itself. Look at the evil itself, using verse 1 as our text. This know also, that in the last days, what's the next word? Perilous times shall come. Here we have the evil and danger itself named by the apostle, being forewarned of. But what does the apostle mean here by perilous times? Listen, beloved, the Greek word for perilous is kalepsos. Kalepsos. It literally means difficult, dangerous, furious, fierce, frightful. That's what the word means. We're living in frightful times. We're living in dangerous times. We're living in furious days. Well, from kalepsos, we get our English word collapse. Listen to me, beloved. I want to make a statement. I've been thinking about this for months now, and now I'm seeing it occur. We are witnessing, listen to me, we are witnessing the universal breakdown and collapse of civilized society in this world. I hope somebody's listening this morning, because this world structure, this world government, this world leadership is breaking down. And we're seeing anarchy in the streets. It's only going to get worse, beloved, because perilous times have arrived. Listen carefully. The English word collapse comes from this Greek word. We're living in collapsing times, perilous days. Church, listen. This morning we're facing some hard times, some times of great danger, some times that I am sure not all of us shall escape. We will be viewed as troublemakers. We will be labeled intolerant. We will be looked upon, because we proclaim Jesus only as the way to heaven, as haters. So now is the time to get serious about your Christianity. Now is the time to serve Jesus Christ like you never have before. Now is the time to pull out all the stops and go all the way for Jesus Christ. Amen? No greater time to sell out to Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, listen very carefully in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look with me at verse 1. Paul says to the preacher boy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why, Paul? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Time out, church. Who is the they of verse 3? That's right. It's the church. Folks, he's talking about Christians. Saved people. Look what he says. The time will come when they, in the church, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear, preacher. Whisper me a sweet love song. Give me a sweet melody, a story, a fable. Look at it, verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Whoa! Paul says, Timothy, I warn you. They're not going to like what you preach. They're not going to receive it, because they don't want to repent. Oh, beloved, I'm telling you, that time has arrived. You know why there's empty pews in the church this morning? Because this time has arrived. You preach that book, you preach it in the power of the Holy Spirit, they don't want to hear it. They got their own preachers. Teachers is what they are. And they tell them what they want to hear. They tickle their ears and receive a big paycheck. Church, listen to me. We're facing very difficult, dangerous times, and we need to be sold out. The WHO, World Health Organization, reports recently that over 40,000 people die every year from snake bites. Listen, you know, snake bites. In one case, a particular peril, which occurred in the Congo jungle in 1956... there were about 24 miners in the shaft from the UK. They were tunneling for diamonds when one worker crawled into a 90-foot shaft and failed to return after being swallowed by a 32-foot python weighing over 3,000 pounds, the largest on record, by the way. A second miner went in looking for the man. He also failed to come out. A third man went in and was lost as well. Finally, a team went in with sticks of dynamite and blew the thing up. Folks, what am I saying? I'm saying that was a dangerous tunnel to be in. This is a dangerous world to be in, folks. Observe the evil itself. There is a great serpent out there. He's swallowing souls. Oh, beloved, we need to shout it from the rooftops. It's evil, dangerous days. But thirdly this morning, notice the certainty of their arrival. Look with me in verse 1 again, and notice the certainty of their arrival. Paul writes, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Oh, beloved, I got to tell you this morning, when God's word says something shall come to pass, mark it down. It's going to happen. Listen, church, you can mark it down that you can count on whatever God says to happen will occur. The Greek word here for shall, look at it, shall come. The Greek word is imeneo, imeneo. It's where we get our English word imminent. The same word is used to describe our Lord's return. It's imeneo. When the angel says, he shall so come in like manner. Paul proclaims the absolute certainty of their arrival here, meaning that it has to happen. Folks, this book right here is no fairy tale. This book tells the future before it occurs, and it's never missed. It's always been right in what it says will happen. Luke chapter 21. Hold your place again. We're coming back to 2 Timothy. But go to Luke chapter 21. Watch what Jesus says shall occur in these days. In Luke chapter 21, look with me at verse 7. And they asked him, Jesus, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. You know, we got a bunch of deceived people in the world today. Wow. I mean, they're all around us. We rub shoulders with them every day. They're deceived in their mind by Satan. They don't know what you know. Look what Jesus says, be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then saith he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Sound like the days we're living in? Oh yeah. Verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Folks, I don't doubt it. They're coming after us. But praise God, we're getting promoted to glory. 17. And ye shall be what? Hated of all men. Why? For my name's sake. You tell them about Jesus Christ. You talk about Buddha, Hare Krishna, Allah. You can talk about all these false gods and they won't mind at all. Go on, go on. But you mention Jesus Christ. And something goes haywire. Go with me to verse 23. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for what?
Fear.
Fear. You notice how much fear is going on right now? Oh, ISIS is coming in. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Al-Qaeda is here. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The demonic realm. And then, look at verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Jesus says, mark it down, I shall come in power and great glory. Now, don't you know that Jesus means what he says? 30 times in this chapter, Jesus Christ uses the word shall. How do you know that, Pastor? I counted them. Listen, Jesus uses this word shall over and over and over because it shall come to pass. When describing these events that certainly will come to pass in the earth, Paul says, perilous days shall come. The incredible George Mueller. What a man of God George Mueller was. If you read up on George Mueller, man, that guy was something. In 1844, Mueller began to pray for 5 lost souls that God laid on his heart for salvation. 3 years passed, and one of the 5 was converted. After 8 more years, a second came to the Lord.
after 22 years of praying every day, a third came to know the Lord. At the end of 40 years, a fourth man was saved. But Mueller didn't give up. In 1896, just prior to his death, after 52 years of praying to God, the last and most stubborn soul received the Savior. Mueller later explained, "I knew for certain that God would surely do it."
I knew for certain he would save them. Folks, we need to have that kind of faith, where we know for certain these days shall come. We know for certain Jesus will deliver us from it. Amen?
Oh, folks, we need to know the certainty of their arrival. But one last thing I want you to see, and I'll be done. We've seen the manner of the warning. This know also. We've seen the evil itself, perilous times. We've seen the certainty of their arrival. They shall come. But finally, one last thing. We must understand the time and season of their arrival. Look with me in verse 1 again. 2 Timothy 3:1. We must understand the time and season of their arrival. This know also that in the what?
Last days.
Perilous times shall come. Paul says, I want you to know the time and the season of their arrival will be in the last days of the last days. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that you and I are living in the final dispensation of this age of grace. We are living, we are on the precipice of rapture. The trumpet could blow before I finish this message. Folks, we are right there for the Lord to come back for his bride and rapture us out. We are right there in the last days of the last days. Now, in the last days, Paul is pointing us directly to the times and seasons of the last days. He gives us three ways in which we may identify these last days. First, how can we identify these last days? First, by the wickedness of men. Look at verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Sound familiar? Anybody? 3, without natural affection, truce breakers. They don't keep their word. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They want sexual pleasure. They want to feed the flesh. But they don't want to serve God. And they don't want to repent. That is the day that we live in, folks. Church, when sin and evil abound in any society that proclaims to know God as America does, you can expect perils, dangers, oppressions, and divine judgments of Almighty God on that people. Did you hear what I said? Any society that proclaims to know God and lives in wickedness, in murder of the unborn, in open marriage of homosexuals, can expect divine judgment to fall on their heads. Folks, it's coming. These are perilous days. Oh, beloved, listen very carefully now. The World Trade Center's gone, blown up, demolished by terrorists. Why? Because we're living in terrible days. But I got a question for you. Where's the revival? The World Trade Centers were destroyed. 3,000 Americans lost their lives that day. Where is the revival? What is wrong, America? There's something, another way we can recognize these days have arrived. Not only by the wickedness of men, but secondly, by a departure from truth. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. How can we know these days have arrived? By a departure, a defection from the truth. Look at it. Verse 1. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, amen, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron,
forbidding to marry, they just shack up, commanding to abstain from meats, vegetarians, which God hath created to be received with thanksgivings of them which believe and know the truth. Notice the departure from truth in verse 1. They depart from the faith. That's the faith of Jesus Christ which saves. There's a great, folks, listen to me. There's more cults today than there's ever been in the history of the world. Satanism has grown by leaps and bounds. Witchcraft, sorcery, the occult, the cults, false religion, New Age movement, Hare Krishna. It's all blatant in the world today. Why? Because of a defection from the truth. A departure from biblical truth. Do you know why false religions and cults are so popular today? Listen, it's because there's no need to turn away from sin. You can live like the devil and go to your kingdom hall and make me feel good. You can go to Joel Osteen's stadium church there and, oh, you're so good, good, good. Something good's going to happen to you today. Not if you die. Folks, I'm telling you, there is a great departure from the truth. No need for repentance. No need for the blood. No need for the cross. No need for the grace. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, we need the truth of this book today more than ever. How can we identify these days? First, by the wickedness of men. Second, by a departure from the truth. Third, we can recognize these days have arrived by the professors of Christianity mixing themselves with the world and learning their manner. Look at chapter 4 again. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Look with me at verse 9, a very, very sad verse. Paul says to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, 2 Timothy 4:9, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. They all forsook Paul in his hour of need. Oh, beloved, we're seeing a defection of God's people from the church today. We're seeing people leaving and abandoning the service of the King. We're seeing people choosing the bowling league and fishing, whatever it might be, over serving Jesus Christ. Oh, folks, we can know these days have arrived when we see the professors of Christianity mixing themselves with the world and learning their manner. Why did Demas forsake Paul? Look at verse 11, verse 10. Having loved this present world. That world out there, I'll tell you what, I owe nothing to this world. Nothing. This world has no sway over me because the Lord delivered me from this present evil world. Amen? That world wants to suck you in and spew you out from serving the Lord. Listen, beloved, when the church mingles itself with the world and begins to accept and learn their wicked ways, she loses her spiritual power. And Ichabod is written over the threshold. The glory is departed. Oh, folks, how we need to be on guard against worldliness. When the church gets carnal, perilous days are sure to come. The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. Oh, beloved, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, I'm here to tell you tonight that that bottle will do you no good. That joint will do you no good. That foul language will do you no good. That metal music. Just ask the death metal band that just performed in Paris and left over 100 corpses on the floor. It's satanic to the core. We, folks, so here's the good news. That's all bad news. But here's the good news. What can we do about it? As God's believing people, what can we do about being in the midst of these last days which are perilous? I see five things that you and I can do to counter it. Amen? I want to counter it in the name of Jesus. First, we need to get closer to the Lord Jesus than we've ever been. Amen? That's a good start. Because as we draw closer to Jesus, people are going to know it. People are going to say, the Bible says, if any man or woman love God, the same is known of him. At work, those guys look at me, they look at my van and they, that guy's really a Christian, you know? Yeah!
If any man love God, the same is known of him or her.
Oh, beloved, we need to get closer to the Lord than we've ever been before. Secondly, we need to tell everyone we possibly can that Jesus saves. Amen? Tell everyone we possibly can that Jesus Christ wants to save them. Glory to God. Thirdly, we need to take a real stand against sin in our lives. Amen?
I'm not saying go and beat people over the head with your Bible. Oh, it's not a bad idea. No. Scratch that. Tell them the truth. That there is deliverance from those drugs. Folks, New Hampshire is leading the nation in heroin overdoses. We're a country up here. We got moose and bears and trees. And we're leading the nation in heroin addiction.
Scary times we're living in. Fourthly, not only we need to take a real stand against evil, fourthly, we need to pray for one another daily that we will stand in the battle.
Amen? Oh, what an obligation we have to pray for one another and to pray for the lost that need Jesus Christ.
But there's one more thing, a fifth thing that we need to do. Fifthly, we need to be in God's house
whenever the doors are open.
Amen?
We need to be in God's house with God's people. Why? Because out there they want to suck you out. They want to trip you up. They want to get you in with them to forsake the Lord
and go and serve the world. Beloved, why? Why do we need to do these five things? I'll tell you why. Because we're living in perilous days.
Perilous days, Father in heaven. How we thank you this morning for the message, the warning from your word, that these perilous days have arrived. Lord, we're in the midst of the perilous days that Paul spoke of 2,000 years ago. We're in them now. Lord, there's no escape.
I am so thankful that you have placed us for such a time as this, Esther said.
If I perish, I perish, but I will serve my King.
Lord, we thank you this morning that you have chosen us. We're chosen vessels. Vessels unto honor. Vessels unto sanctification. Vessels of the Holy Spirit of God to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify our Father which is in heaven in these evil days. Lord, I am so thankful that I was born when I was born. Because these are the most exciting times in the history of the 2,000-year church age of grace. Because we are the generation that is about to hear the blowing of the trumpet. Come up hither, my beloved. We can't wait to hear those words. Lord, we love you so much today. And we're so thankful for our Bible-believing church here in Hooksett, New Hampshire. Lord, that we know and believe and receive the truth of your word. We stand upon it till our dying breath. And Lord, we thank you that we can shine your light into the darkness of these dangerous, perilous days. We thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals and stand for a time of invitation this morning. Let's open up to hymn 130.
Hymn 130 says it all. Reason being, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to sing 1st, 2nd, and 4th of 130. Altar is open. Maybe you just want to pray for some poor lost soul that needs the Lord. Or maybe one of those five things that we can do has touched your heart this morning. And you want to say, Lord, I need to do that. Number three, I need to do that. Number two, and I need to do that. Number four, whatever it might be.
As the music plays, we'll sing the first, the second, and the third, and the fourth. Yeah.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?
Hey!
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be able of victory win?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
Yes, there is!
There is power, power, wonder-looking power. There is power, power, under looking power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from your passion and pride?
Yes, there's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you a cleansing till Calvary's tide? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Yes, there is.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Before we sing on the 4th, the altar is open if you need it. Maybe you want to, souls are at the altar praying now. Maybe you want to pray for some poor lost soul you're trying to reach for Jesus. And you want to say, Lord, save him. Lord, open his heart, Holy Spirit, to the truth. Or maybe there's something that you need to surrender this morning. Whatever it is, by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, every eye closed, every head bowed. And by an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray, yeah, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. Hands up all over, put them down. Lord, thank you for your believing people this morning. Lord, thank you for touching their hearts by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, right now, right now as we sing on the 4th, you would touch them on that need, that special need that only you and them know about. And you would meet that need, Lord. You would fulfill that desire, Lord. You would grant that petition, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. On the 4th.
Silence for Jesus, your King.
Yes,
there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Oh, praise the Lord, people. Great singing this morning. Thank you for being in God's house. And tell somebody this week, share this message with them. Tell them we need to be on guard in these last days. And we need to be the lights that our Heavenly Father has called us to be. Amen. Brother Kyle, let's visit some praying. If work permits, tonight at 6 o'clock we'll have Back in the Doctrine of Immortality. One of these days we'll finish that series. Brother Kyle.
Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We know, Lord, that perilous times that you speak of. We see it all around us, Lord, and we know that we need to not only correct ourselves, get ourselves aligned, but to reach out to those around us who just constantly refuse to see the light or to even acknowledge that you exist, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to give us the courage and the right words at the time we need to reach these folks. We ask you also, Lord, to be with us, to walk with and guide us, to keep us safe through our days and to bring us back safely. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.